6.
Breathe. Verse 48. I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man, and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. Let's pray. Lord, we're so grateful for the living bread. And Lord, we ask in Christ's name that you will be pleased to give us this bread that we may eat of it and drink of it. Lord, that's beyond the power and energy of this flesh. We pray that you would meet with us. We pray that we would hear your voice. We pray that our sins might be forgiven. We pray that we might be found in your Son. Be with all your people wherever they meet together. Lord, we pray for our friends of this congregation that are sick. We pray for your healing hand upon them according to your will. We pray that you would pour your blessing upon this assembly for Christ's sake. And what we pray for ourselves, we pray for all your people wherever they meet together. Accept our thanksgiving. We're so thankful for the Lord. In his name we pray. Amen. I am the bread of life. Think of that statement. I am the bread of life. Now, you and I are either spiritually dead or we have spiritual life. Christ says, I am the bread of life. If you have spiritual life, you have to eat. You have to eat. Just as physical life is maintained by eating physically, you have to eat spiritually. And the Lord tells us, I am the bread of life. In Adam, all die. That's the way you and I were born into this world. Spiritually dead. Dead men cannot hear. Dead men cannot see. Dead men cannot smell. Dead men cannot feel. Dead men cannot taste. Dead men don't eat. By one man sin entered the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, in that all have sinned. Now the end of physical death is eternal death. The wages of sin is death. But living men eat. This is what I want us to think about. Living men eat. They must eat. I must eat. If I do not eat, if I do not drink physically, I'll die. If I do not eat and drink spiritually, it's because I have no life in me. Living men eat, and spiritual life is sustained by eating that we're reading about in this passage of Scripture, this glorious passage of Scripture. Now, when someone is born from above, born of the Spirit, a new life put in them that was not there before, a new heart, a pure heart, a clean heart, the new birth, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Isn't that a mysterious thing, that if you have spiritual life, God birthed you into the kingdom of heaven? Spiritual life. If you have spiritual life, you must eat. And the Lord tells us, I am the bread of life. Look in verse 33 of John chapter 6. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Now this is one of several times in this passage of Scripture he said he came down from heaven. And I love it when he says that. I'm sure the people were incredulous. What, you came down from heaven? Do you believe that about yourself? Yes, he did. He came down. He's pre-existent bread. He's eternal bread. Look in verse 32. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. He's given bread. Given by the grace of God. He's the living bread. Verse 51 of the same chapter, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. He is life-giving bread. Look in verse 49. Your fathers did eat man in the wilderness, are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And he is satisfying bread. Look in verse 35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. You will find satisfaction in this bread. You won't want anything else. You know, when you believe on Christ, you don't want anything else. He's all you want. He's all you desire. You don't want to hear anything but him. Now, if you don't feel that way, it's because you don't have spiritual life. Someone who has spiritual life finds complete satisfaction in being saved by Christ only. They're not looking for anything else. They're satisfied with Jesus Christ. They need nothing else. The bread of life. Now, verse 49, your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. They ate that manna that came down from heaven, called angel's food, in Psalm 78. What a miraculous thing that must have been to get up every morning and see that bread that had come down that night as dew on the ground. They pick it up, eat it for 40 years. But you know what? All of them are dead. I know it was miraculous bread, but all of those people are dead. Verse 50. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. Now he's saying, I'm the bread that this manna typified. I came down from heaven. And if you eat of this bread, you really will not die. You will live eternally. And this is talking about the life of God in the soul. This is talking about spiritual life. This is talking about the new heart that he gives. A heart that will never die. You're going to die physically. But if you have this new man, this new nature, that is never going to die. It's going to be in heaven, beholding His glory. Now look what He says in verse 51. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever, and the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Now, this is what it means to eat this bread. He says, the bread that I give is my flesh. He's talking about His humanity. There was a time when He did not have a body. He came down to this planet in a body. He said, a body hast thou prepared me. And He came down in the flesh. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. What a glorious mystery that is. The Word made flesh. Now, why did He become flesh? Because man sinned in the flesh. And sin must be paid for. And He came in the flesh, born of a virgin. He didn't have Adam's corrupt nature. He came born of a virgin, and in the flesh He did what no one has ever done. He never sinned. Perfect motives, perfect thoughts, perfect obedience. He never sinned. In thought, in word, in deed, He kept God's law perfectly in the flesh. Now, what's He talking about? My flesh I give for the life of the world. What's He talking about? In this perfect humanity, as my substitute, He took my sin in His own body on the tree. All the hellish sin that I have committed, He took in His own body on the tree. That's why He was nailed to a cross. He had no sins of His own. But my sin became His sin, and it became sin of His own in that sense. He took my sin. He took the sins of the elect, all those the Father gave Him. He took the sins of all of His people in His own body on the tree, and He suffered and He died as the sinner's substitute in His flesh. He bore the sin of His people. Now, it's called substitution. Substitution. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, for He hath made Him. We ought to tremble when we even think about this. For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Now, the only thing that I find spiritual satisfaction in, when I'm not looking for anything else, is His sacrifice. That's it. I'm not... Nothing else? No. No. I love what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2:1. I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The only thing that gives me confidence, the only thing that gives me assurance, the only thing that gives me satisfaction, the only thing that gives me joy and peace is what He accomplished on Calvary's tree. That's what I eat on. His flesh, His blood. That is my necessary food. He is the bread of life, and I don't get assurance from anything else. Now, that's it. Can you say that? You know what I'm saying? The only thing you have confidence in is who He is and what He did. And the only ground of your acceptance before God, it's not your experience, it's His experience. Your desire is simply to be found in Him, and you do not want anything else. Now, verse 52, the Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give his flesh to eat? All they heard was cannibalism. That's all they heard. This is gross. He's saying we're supposed to eat his flesh and drink his blood? Why, that's ridiculous. We don't believe this. Yeah, I couldn't help but think of the Lord's table. Do you remember what the Lord said? Take, eat, this is my body broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. That cup with wine. Take, drink, this is my blood shed for you. This do in remembrance of me. The Lord's given us two ordinances, baptism and the Lord's table. And they're both of critical importance. Is there any saving efficacy in either one of them? No. But they're commands of the Lord. Baptism and the Lord's Supper. And He says when you eat this bread, drink this cup, you're commemorating my death. You show forth the Lord's death till He came. But that in that simple illustration, of course there's no saving efficacy in me eating the bread or drinking the wine. But here's what I'm saying. His perfect righteousness, His shed blood is everything in my salvation. And I find peace, comfort, acceptance in what He has done. Now, I realize the Catholic Church has taught what they call transubstantiation, where the bread literally turns into the body of Christ and the wine literally turns into the blood of Christ, and you actually take these things in your body. But all that, no, that's ridiculous. And it's making Christ have to suffer over and over and over again. Every time somebody takes, He has to suffer again. No, He offered one sacrifice for sins. There are no others. He accomplished salvation. And this is what we live on. And an unbeliever can't understand this because they're always going, isn't there anything more? There's got to be more than this. You've never tasted. If you ever taste, there is nothing more. Verse 53. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you. I love the way He says this. They're incredulous when He says, you're going to eat my flesh and drink my blood. Look what He says after they give their objection. Verse 53. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in you. Is He speaking of physically? Of course not. Spiritually. You can't have life without eating and drinking, can you? If you don't eat, if you don't drink, what's going to happen? Life is not going to be preserved. You're going to die. And this spiritual life that the believer has is found in eating and drinking the flesh and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. His flesh is His righteousness. His blood is His sin payment. His flesh is His life, His blood is His death. And that, quite frankly, is my salvation. It's not what I do. It's not what I think. It's not what I believe. It's not what I feel. His life, His death is my salvation. You believe that? You rejoice in that. Is that all you find nourishment from? His life and His death. The true spiritual food and drink. This is all you can live on. His blood. His righteousness. His perfection. And I'm not asking anybody to make an audible response. But is this really... Is He all to you? And I'm not even talking that He ought to be all in every aspect. And He is all in every aspect. But what I'm saying more than anything else is this all in your salvation? Who He is and what He did. Is this all you can live on? That's what's being taught here. Except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in you. Verse 54. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life. You know who has eternal life? And I'm talking about the life of God in your soul. I'm talking about a new man, a new nature. that pure heart, that new heart, that clean heart. You know who has that eternal life abiding in their soul? Only those who find their only way of living, their only ground of acceptance in the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I've got nothing else. I don't have anything else right now while I'm talking to you. I don't have anything else. He is my all in all. When I say I don't have anything else, I've got everything. I've got everything. I don't have the minimum. I have the maximum. And everything in between. That is what it is to eat His flesh and drink. This is my only meal. This is the only thing that saves me. His flesh. His blood. And He assures us, I will raise Him up at the last day. There's a last day. This life is so transient, so it's going to be over soon. Whether you're young or old, it's still going to be over soon. But here's the promise. I will raise Him up at the last day. Verse 55. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. And the word indeed means true. My flesh, what I accomplished in my flesh in keeping the law, and my taking the sins of my people and putting them away, that's what's true. That's the true meat. That's the true drink. And if I can't see this, and like I said, I'm not asking you to make any kind of verbal response, but I'm asking you to look within your own heart. Is this your only flesh and blood? Is this your only meal? Is this the only thing you can live on? The life, the death, the resurrection, the righteousness of Christ, being my only righteousness before God, what He did in His flesh. That's my righteousness before God. His shed blood. That's all I can live on. And most religious people can't see that. They can't see that. A believer does. Every believer does. Every believer sees their only meal that gives them satisfaction is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's mealtime. Anything that does not have this as its sum and substance is not true. My flesh is meat indeed. My blood is drink indeed. This is the truth. And anything that doesn't have this as its sum and substance, as underneath everything that's said, it's not true. My flesh is the real meat. My blood is the real drink. Verse 56, look at the way He keeps repeating Himself. You know, repetition's good. Repetition's good. Being boring's not good. Saying things in a dry, repetitious way is not good. But repetition of the spiritual truth of the gospel is good. And He repeats this to us again so it'll get into our head and our heart. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood, look what He says next, dwelleth in me. You know what the evidence of you being in Christ is? And me being in Christ is? I eat His flesh and drink His blood. That is dwelling in Him. And that's what John meant when he said, abide in Him. Abide in Him. And the Lord said, abide in me. Now, here's a real simple illustration. We're in a room. If all of God's blessing is in this room, and I'm not talking about scarce blessing, I'm talking about all the fullness of God. Every blessing there is in this room, and nothing but wrath outside of this room. What room do you want to be in? And you think, well, won't I get bored in that room? No, you won't get bored. Not if you're in Christ. There's nothing boring about this. You say, well, just one place to be. Yeah, there's just one place to be in Christ. I want to be in this room with all of God's blessings. And you know, I'm not talking about this physical room. I'm trying to give this as an example. If all of God's blessing is in this room, this is where I want to be. And I don't want to be anywhere else. He says, he that eateth me, or he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood, dwelleth in me. And here's the reason you dwell in him. He dwells in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The only reason, listen to me, the only reason you want to only be found in him is because he's in you. Now, if you're a stranger to this, he's not in you. But if your only desire is to be found in him, like Paul, oh, that I may win Christ and be found in him. Where all of God's blessing, where all of God's mercy, where all of God's grace is. Oh, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness. I don't want my thumbprints on anything. I simply want to be found in him so that when God sees me, all he sees is Jesus Christ. That's it. If you feel that way, it's because he's in you. That didn't come from your flesh. That didn't come from your efforts or your understanding. That's the work of God's grace in you. And this is what our Lord is telling us. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father. Jesus Christ is God, equal to God because he is God. You remember they said, you being a man, make yourself God. Well, he was a man, but he is God, the God-man. And do you know the God-man lived in complete dependence upon his Father? He believed God completely. He trusted his Father for his next meal. You know, I'm glad for the financial prosperity that is in this country, and not many of us are worrying about our next meal. But I wish the Lord would enable us to be totally cognizant of the fact that our next meal, our next breath, is dependent upon him. He said, I live by the Father. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so that he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. That's how he lives. Same way I do. Complete dependence. This is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. Now that's eternal life. And it's not just the longevity of the life. It's the life of God in my soul. It's the new man. It's the new creature in Christ Jesus. It's the clean heart. It's the pure heart. It's the new heart. And this is what I love to think of. And this shows how we have to live by faith and not by sight. The same nature that I'm going to have in heaven, I have right now. Can you see it? No. Do you believe it? Yes. Yes. That is eternal life. And this also lets us know how much a sinful nature drags us down, because we can't see that. But we believe it. Because God's Word tells us. Now, this is what I want to eat. This is who I want to eat. This is who I want to drink. This is my only meal. This is the only thing that satisfies me. You know, don't you hate going to a restaurant and eating and paying for a meal that you didn't even like? You think, why did I spend that money? And I'm irritated 2 or 3 days sometimes after that happens. I just think, I spent that money on that. I could have got something out of a garbage can better than that. You know, but oh, what satisfaction there is in looking to him only, eating him only, drinking him only. I am the bread of life.